The market backdrop this morning is uncomfortable. S&P futures are down about 40 points, sitting at 76.58, a 0.5% decline before the US open. That's attributable to a combination of factors: oil prices spiking on Gulf tensions, Alibaba earnings disappointing again, and the Fed rate conversation continuing to generate uncertainty.
Alibaba's fourth consecutive quarterly earnings miss is worth dwelling on because each consecutive miss tells a different part of the story. The first miss can be explained as a one-off. The second suggests a trend. By the fourth, you're looking at something structural. Alibaba's core business, Chinese e-commerce, is facing genuine headwinds from a domestic consumption environment that has simply not recovered the way economists projected after China's COVID reopening in late 2022.
Chinese consumers are saving more and spending less, partly because of property market uncertainty. Evergrande and the broader real estate sector crisis hasn't fully resolved, and partly because youth unemployment in China, which hit record levels above 20% before Beijing stopped publishing the data, has dampened the spending power of the demographic that drives e-commerce growth. When your core customer base is young, urban, and economically anxious, discretionary spending falls.
Alibaba is also fighting a regulatory environment that has constrained its expansion into financial services through Ant Group and its cloud business. Jack Ma's public reemergence in various contexts hasn't translated into policy relaxation, and the company's international expansion ambitions keep running into geopolitical friction, particularly in Southeast Asia, where local competitors have strengthened.
The Air Liquide story is a very different flavor. Elliott Management, Paul Singer's activist hedge fund, has built a significant stake in the French industrial gases company and is pushing for what activists always push for: higher margins, better capital allocation, possibly a strategic restructuring. Air Liquide shares surged on the announcement, which is the standard Elliott effect, markets price in the possibility that pressure produces results.
What's interesting about Elliott targeting a European industrial is the cross-border dimension. European companies, particularly French ones, have historically been more resistant to American activist investors than their Anglo-Saxon counterparts, partly because of cultural attitudes toward shareholder primacy, and partly because French regulatory and governmental frameworks give management more defensive tools. The question is whether Elliott has the patience and the leverage to achieve meaningful change at a company that has political as well as commercial significance in France.
On the Fed side, Trump publicly backing Kevin Warsh as Fed chair is notable for what it signals about the administration's policy preferences. Warsh, who served on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors from 2006 to 2011, is generally viewed as leaning hawkish, more willing to raise rates to control inflation than to hold or cut rates to support growth. Given that oil prices are now rising sharply and inflationary pressure could resurface, a Warsh-led Fed might respond with rate increases even in an environment where economic growth is fragile.
The political irony is that Trump is famous for wanting lower rates. He spent years publicly pressuring Jerome Powell to cut. Backing a hawkish chair now either suggests he's confident enough in growth prospects to absorb rate hikes, or he believes that demonstrating Fed independence is important enough to his broader credibility that he's willing to accept a chair who might actually raise rates on him. Neither of those is a simple read.
For everyday Americans watching their mortgage rates and credit card costs, a potential rate hike in an environment of higher oil prices and geopolitical uncertainty is a genuinely worrying combination. The typical household is still carrying debt accumulated during the high-spending post-COVID years, and refinancing costs are not dropping.